In the moments before his death, Jesus is hanging on the cross and he is abandoned by almost all of his followers. The men had either denied him or betrayed him or run away and hid. Only the women remained, and they were at a distance. And then while he was hanging there, two criminals, one on each side of him, were hanging on their own crosses. And one of them said to Jesus, saying, "Hey, aren't you the Christ? If so, save us and yourself." Responding, the other criminal spoke harshly to him. And he says, "Don't you fear God, seeing that you've also been sentenced to die? We're rightly condemned, for we're receiving the appropriate sentence for what we did. But this man, he's done nothing wrong." And then he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you're in your kingdom." And Jesus replied to him, "I assure you today that you will be with me in paradise." Then finally, crying out in a loud voice, Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I give my life." And after that, he breathed for the last time. Shortly thereafter, the Roman soldiers confirmed that Jesus was indeed dead. And then two secret disciples of Jesus took his body down off the cross, and they buried him in a tomb that was nearby and owned by one of them. And it was there his body laid. That was until the third day, when some of the women headed to the tomb to anoint his body with fragrant spices. Except when they got there, the tomb was already open, and the guards were nowhere to be found. And when they went in, Jesus' body wasn't there either. I mean, they're still mourning the loss of their Jesus. But now he's gone. Where is his body? Where have they taken him? And suddenly, standing next to them were two men. And in that dark tomb, their clothes were dazzling and bright, like stars in the night. I mean, they made that place look more like a disco than a tomb. But what's more is that the men weren't in mourning. They were joyful, even if they seemed a little aloof, asking, "Hey, who you looking for?" However, it seemed that they knew something that the others missed. Because it's not that Jesus' body was missing, it's that he's not there, here, anymore. He's not in the tomb. He's not even dead. He's alive. He's risen. He's alive forevermore. He is risen. He is Lord. That's right. And so the women go and do what the women have been doing ever since the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, when Jesus encountered the woman at the well. They go and tell. They tell the other disciples that Jesus isn't there, that he's risen, that he's alive. Of course, the men know better. Without having to mansplain, they know Jesus is dead. You know, this resurrection stuff makes no sense. It's nonsense. Peter was actually curious. And he gets up and he leaves the others behind and he runs to the tomb as fast as he can. And he hear the Gospel of John tell it, Peter and John were in a race, like he was there too. But he finally admits that it was Peter who went into the tomb first. And anyway, when Peter gets there, it's just as the women described. It's empty. But now he's really confused. Where is Jesus' body? Did God really bring him back from the dead? Could he really be resurrected? He hoped. Then a little while later, a couple of the disciples that were hiding with the rest of the disciples decided all this resurrection talk was crazy talk, and they decided to head back home. And they lived in a nearby town called Emmaus. And as they were walking home, they encountered a stranger. He looked familiar, but they really couldn't figure out who he was. However, as they walked and talked, the stranger seemed to know an awful lot about Jesus, and he explained everything about Jesus to them. It was odd, but it was exciting at the same time. When they arrived home, they invited the stranger in for a meal. And as the stranger came into their home and they prepared to eat, the stranger blessed the meal. And when he did that, they suddenly realized who he was. It was Jesus! And their hearts caught fire and they became even more excited, except Jesus then disappeared from right in front of them. And so they ran all the way back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples. And when they get there, they tell the other disciples what they just saw, what they just experienced, how Jesus made them feel. And it was incredible. It was life-giving. It was good news. And while they're explaining everything, while they're sharing their story, I mean, they're still trying to catch their breath. And then Jesus appears right there in front of them, among them, in the middle of them. "Peace be with you," he says. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that's a little funny. I mean, if I thought my friend was dead, I'd be upset. And then if their body went missing, I'd really be disturbed. And then if someone told me that they were no longer dead, but they were resurrected, that they had come back to life, I'm not really sure how I would feel. But then if he suddenly appeared in front of me and said, "Hey, peace, man," peace is not what would be on my mind. Yet there he was, right in front of them. He was alive, just as the women said. He was real, just as the other disciples said. And he came into their lives, and he sat down with them, and he ate a meal with them. He fulfilled their hope, and he brought them peace. And this is good news. That's good news. Here's the thing. You can go to the Holy Land today and you can see the place where Jesus was crucified. And from there, you can walk down the hill and you can go to the place where Jesus was buried. It's still there. But guess what? The tomb is still empty. That's good news. Yet you don't have to go all that way to see for yourself, because you can find Jesus right here, right now. You can experience Jesus in your life right here, right now. You can invite him in and he will fulfill your hope, give you peace, catch your heart on fire right here, right now, wherever you are. That's good news. About 2,000 years ago, some angels came from heaven and they announced to some shepherds on a hillside that Christ the Lord, the Savior, was being born. That his arrival was good news of great joy for all people. And they called him Emmanuel, which means God with us. But when that child grew up and became a man, he embodied everything it means to be loved by God, and everything it means to love God, and everything it means to love each other as God loves us. And he gave us the perfect example of what God is like. He gave us the perfect example of what love looks like. He gave us the perfect example of what friendship and service looks like. And even though he was this perfect man who was both fully God and fully human, he knew what it meant to be tempted, to hurt, to feel pain, to be lonely, to be abandoned, to lose friends, to be betrayed, and to suffer. He was the best possible person, and he experienced the worst possible thing, death on a cross. Yet he did all of that so that we, so that you and so that I wouldn't have to go through life alone and ashamed and unforgiven. He did all that so that we could have hope, so that I could have hope, so that you could have hope. He did all that so that your past and your present and all the messes we've made and all the mistakes we've made, he did all that so that God wouldn't hold all of that against us. He did that so that we could be forgiven and free. He did it so that we would know how much God loves us, how much God loves me, and how much God loves you, and you, and you, and you, and you. He did this because God is loving you so that you would know that you know that God loves you and that God is offering you his grace. That means that God is offering you a new chance and a better future, a new life. Here, we see it as God offering each and every single one of us, both individually and collectively, as a group, as a community, as a church, a new chance to make life better and you better at life through Jesus Christ. And that's good news. Maybe some of you were told that you're not worthy, or maybe you don't feel like you're worthy, and that doesn't sound like good news. And it's not, because that's not the message of Jesus. You know who wasn't worthy? That thief on the cross next to Jesus. He was a violent criminal, a murderer, a traitor, and he deserved to be on that cross. Yet when he cried out to Jesus, you know what Jesus said to him? Here's what he said. Listen to this. Jesus told him, today you will be with me in paradise. That's good news. The good news is resurrection for each and every single one of us. It's good news. The resurrection is good news for each and every single one of us, because it means that we no longer have to fear our past or our failures or our worst mistakes. It means that we don't even have to fear death, because it does mean resurrection for us. Because Jesus says, hey, I got you. That's good news. If you want to know more about this good news and how Jesus is offering you a new life, an eternal life, I invite you, see me after the service. This good news is too good to let go, because the message of Jesus and his life, his death, and his resurrection is good news for me and for you. It's truly good news of great joy for all people. And Jesus wants you to capitalize on this moment, to take advantage of this opportunity, to get the most out of this update. That is, to live the best life you ever could. Because you didn't earn it. It's a free gift. It's God's grace. When you ask for it, you're accepting it by faith. So what are you going to do with it? Live it like it's going out of style. And while you're at it, share the good news. Share it with the world that the tomb is empty, that Jesus lives, that he lives in your heart today. And when you share that good news, here's what happens. People see the good news in you. They see Jesus in you. They experience the good news through you, because they experience Jesus through you. And when you do your best to live your life like he did, whether you're loving the thief on the cross, loving the friend who abandoned you, loving the friend who didn't believe in you, or loving that amazing friend who shared the good news with you and never left your side. When you love them like Jesus loves you, they'll see Jesus through you. And they'll know Jesus too. They'll know he's alive. So may we listen to those women in our lives who are always there bringing us the good news. And may we all share the good news, the alleluias, the hallelujah, that Christ is risen indeed. He's risen in me. He's risen in you. And may all our hearts catch on fire. That's good news. Amen.